and so privileged to be here this morning, Lord, together in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that everybody's hearts here are open this morning, and Lord, that this worship blessed them and blessed you, Father. I thank you, Father, that their hearts are open to receive your word and your truth this morning, Lord. I also pray, Lord, that if there are any masks, Lord, that they've been left at the front door, Father. I pray that people come to you with openness and honesty this morning, Lord. Father, you see the desires of their hearts. You see the condition of their minds and their spirits, Lord. You see all things, Lord. You see beyond the flesh. And Lord, we just thank you this day, Lord, that people will be bold enough to come to you in their brokenness, Lord. Because it is in our brokenness that you are made strong, that you are glorified, that you are honored, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we just want to tell you this morning, we are here to honor and glorify your magnificent name. We love you, and sometimes we miss you, Lord. Forgive us when we don't spend as much time as we would like to, Lord. We know, though, we know deep in our hearts, Lord, that you have us firmly in the palm of your hands, Lord. So we just want to tell you this morning, God, we have no agenda here. We have no agenda. And we just want you to have your will in everyone's lives. Over this next 45 minutes, Father, I pray that the word that you've asked me to share, Lord, will just be received in hearts that are prepared as good soil, Lord. So we just want to thank you, Father, that you can take any darkness out of our hearts, Lord. We just want to come to you this morning with our hearts completely open, Father. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Children can make their way to Children's Church. Thank you. Has anyone got a word they'd like to share? I'm just inviting anyone who feels they have a word from the Lord, if anyone would like to come and share.
Good morning, everybody. We all know that God has a great plan for us. And this morning, I just had a discussion with a lady yesterday, and she told me a testimony about a fortune teller that came to her. And, sometimes we don't know why we are supposed to be there sometimes, but at that moment, she just shared it with me, and I just said to her, you know, the next time, whatever happens the next time, you must just tell him or her that, you know, God is the only one who knows our future. And I sent her this word this morning that says that the Lord sees not only what you are right now, but also what you can become. He knows the plans he has for you. And according to Jeremiah 29:11, they are good plans for progress and success, not defeat and failure. Let this be encouragement to you to give God everything about yourself. He will be patient with you as he works his good plans in you. So if there's any emotions today, let emotions subside and then decide. Thank you.
Thank you. As most of you know, Kat and I spent some time recently on the Wild Coast. That's in the Eastern Cape of our beautiful country of South Africa. And we were gone for 12 days, but it actually felt like 3 months. So much happened in those 12 days, and it was just amazing. But what was also amazing was driving home over the Franschhoek Pass and coming down into Franschhoek. And we just remembered how blessed we are to live in such a beautiful, idyllic little town, our town of Franschhoek. It's such a blessing. But our plan in the Transkei was to basically rough it a little bit for the first section of our holiday. When I say rough it, some camping, some very cheap accommodation. And then the last few days of our holiday, I wanted to spoil my wife, and I get spoilt in the process by taking her to a fancy spa hotel called Mgazi on the Mgazi River. It was fantastic. But while we were going through our holiday, there were a number of challenges that happened. And I want to share those things, those challenges, and how they relate to God. And I basically came up with 9 of God's ways. And I'd like to share those 9 ways. Now, obviously, these are not the only ways of God, because God is so amazing and we cannot even begin to comprehend who He is. So these are just 9 ways of God that were revealed to me and reinforced while I was on holiday. The first one, God's ways to speak through prophets. God's ways to speak through prophets. Now, God's people often strayed away from the law. They often went in the wrong direction. Now, God didn't send a book or a letter or an email or an SMS to redirect His people. No, He sent men and women, prophets, to come and speak to them. Now, Numbers 12:6 says, He said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I will reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." Now, the prophecy section in the Old Testament is actually subdivided into 2 categories. You've got the major prophets and you've got the minor prophets. And the designation of minor and major actually has nothing to do with their validity or their importance, but really the size of their prophecy. So it's the size of the book. So the major prophets have got big books. The minor prophets have got small books. The book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, who was also known as the weeping prophet, Lamentations, who was also written by Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel are known as the major prophets. That means the rest of them are known as the minor prophets. I'm just going to mention who they are. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, which I spoke about extensively about a month ago, Micaiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Note that after Malachi, there was 400 years roughly of silence where God didn't speak to His people. But these were not the only prophets. These were the only prophetic books that I've mentioned. There were many others like Moses and Samuel, for example, who God spoke through, and they spoke God's word. And their accounts can be seen in the scriptures. The Old Testament also includes women who are prophets. We have Moses' sister Miriam. We have the judge Deborah, who fought along Barak in Israel's wars. But the question is, excuse me, but the question is, how do people know if the prophets came from God or not? How do you know? How do you know? God gave us the answer in Deuteronomy 18:20-22. It says, "But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods must be put to death." It's a pretty hectic warning. So if you say something that isn't true, or something in the name of the other God, you get put to death. 21 goes on to say, this is the Lord speaking. "You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message that the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him." So basically, if you say something that is a prophecy and it doesn't come to pass, then obviously it wasn't from God. Now, there were some notable false prophets in the Bible, Balaam being one of them, and he was rebuked by a donkey. We have one prophetic book in the New Testament, and that's the book of Revelation, which was written by John on the island of Patmos in 96 AD. Now, we can be thankful that we are under the new covenant. Under the new covenant, by the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, all of us can be prophets. We can all hear the voice of God and we can all speak. But often when prophets come, even in the Old Testament, people don't want to hear what they have to say. They kind of reject what the message is. It's not always well received. In my own life, God uses prophets to speak to me, to bring words and sometimes warnings. And more often than not, that prophet is named Kat, my wife. Husbands, I want to tell you something. Women are designed very differently from us. They're wired specifically different from us. You've heard of woman intuition, haven't you? There's a very good reason for woman intuition. They are more in touch with things. They chat more amongst each other. They chat more to you. They chat more to God. Come and have a look at our intercession. Most of them, most of the people there are women. So anyway, my personal prophet Kat comes to me before the holiday and she says to me, "Yanni, my darling, please let's not take my car on this trip." So I'm like, no, it'll be fine, don't worry. So she says to me a few days later, "I really think we shouldn't take this car on the trip. I think we should hire a car." And I'm like, "No, that's expensive. We'll take your car. It won't be a problem." To eventually, she was saying, "You're going to kill Noddy out there." Noddy is the pet name she has for her car. She has an affiliation with her car. She loves her car. So anyway, Noddy is the name of the car. Anyway, I decided to continue going to the Eastern Cape in Noddy. And a little later on in our story, we'll find out whether Kat is a true prophet or not. My second way of God is true religion, God's way. Now, James 1:27 tells us the following. "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." True religion, according to James. In the first century, orphans and widows were in desperate need. If they did not have a family member to look after them economically, then they were destined for three things. They would either sell themselves into slavery, they would beg, or they would starve. Those are three things. Those were the three choices that an orphan or widow had in first century. But, you know, out in the Transkei, things haven't changed that much. There is a hectic, very destructive AIDS epidemic that is sometimes ignored in our country. And all over the Transkei, we saw funerals by... You can't miss a funeral in the Transkei because they put up a big tent and the whole village comes along. There are a lot of widows and there are a lot of orphans and they are desperately poor and they have nobody to look after them. Now, I don't know if you know Kat, my wife. She has the heart the size of a planet, okay? So we came across a lot of orphans and widows. We picked up along the road a lot of orphans and widows. But there were so many people asking for rides along those dusty rural tracks that we actually eventually just started stopping for the old ladies, the very old ladies. And the one old lady actually broke my heart. She was obviously so poor. This is how poor, I believe, this is. We couldn't speak to the people because obviously they spoke Khoza, and the extent of our Khoza was Molo, which means hello, it's a greeting. So anyway, we stopped for this lady, Molo, and she hasn't got any shoes on. So I like look at her feet, and her feet are pretty gnarly. And we give her a lift, and the ride's not very long, maybe 1 or 2 kilometers, because she's going to a funeral. And so we stop at the funeral, and she gets out of the car, and she puts on her shoes. The lady was so poor, she didn't want to wear out her shoes. Her shoes were in no good condition, let me tell you. But she was prepared to walk all these kilometers barefoot while carrying her shoes. And then obviously she wanted people to see her wearing shoes, so she put them on just before she entered the funeral. But Kat took the opportunity to minister to people, to spread true religion in God's way. When people entered our car, they got fed. She used to feed them. She medicated them, those who were coughing or had some kind of ailment, got panados and cough syrup and all these sorts of things. And obviously we couldn't pray for them in, openly because they didn't understand English, but we did pray for them in tongues. We prayed for them under our breath, and we sent them on their merry way. So James, if you look at James again, he says it's true religion that is pure and faultless is to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted from the world. Now the trans guy seems like another country. It doesn't even feel, you live here in Franschhoek. Franschhoek is Eurocentric. It's cosmopolitan. You get all different foreign people. You go out to the trans guy in the middle of the homelands there, and it is real Africa. There's very little out there. And you know what the benefit is? You don't get polluted so much by the world. Money, power, pleasure. Obviously it's there, but it's in no way the extreme in your face that it is in places like Franschhoek, Cape Town, the big cities. So there's a small advantage there. Don't worry about the orphans. They were not forgotten. They were not forgotten. Cat handed out packets of apples and pears, bananas. Yes, all the food we had for the next few days. She handed it all out. It was great for them. We were really in the trance, guys, spreading, as James has said, religion the true way. Number three, God's way is a Garden of Eden. After a long, long, rough road, we eventually get to our destination, which is called Dwesa Nature Reserve. Now, it's a little known and very little visited nature reserve. In fact, when we arrived at the gate, we were the only people signed in. We were the only people that signed in for many weeks. So we had the entire nature reserve to ourselves, bar the couple of national parks guys on the gate who didn't really leave their little office. We had the entire park to ourselves. I was reminded of a scripture from Genesis 2, which says, "Now the Lord God has planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food." Verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." God's beauty was everywhere. God's beauty was everywhere. We sat there in complete and utter awe of God's design and beauty. I walked maybe, I don't even know, hours on deserted white beaches. Not one single person, not one footprint, not one anything. I came around this one river. There was like a river running into the ocean. As I came around the corner, there were five shadows on the beach. So I thought, I've been to the trans guy once before, about 15 years ago, and I thought, cows. You often find cows. I know it's bizarre, but you find cows on the beach in the trans guy. So I continued to walk. Next thing, five elands stand up. Five elands on the beach. As I cross the river, there are fish. And as I stand in the deeper part of the river, the fish, obviously frightened by my foot, jumped to get away and jumped onto the banks. They had a whole shoal of fish, not very big fish, this big, jumped onto the fish. So as I scooped them back into the water, I'm like, Lord, you know, I really do feel like Adam. I look around and I've got, I look around and there's a screech of a fish eagle, and a fish eagle makes a catch in front of me. And I'm just blown away. And I'm, Lord, how much more beautiful can you get? You know, everything. I walk along. There's mussels. Have you seen mussels this big? Mussels 20 centimeters long. It was a national park, so I only picked one. To show my wife, of course. There were leguvans. There were birds. There were monkeys. There were so much game. And as I said, it felt like the Garden of Eden. But Genesis tells us, it says, that the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. Now the trans guy is also a sad place. There's so much overgrazing. There's so much erosion. And it made me sad, you know, that we have to have a national park to protect this part of Eden that God has given us. But praise God for national parks. Praise God for them. Like Adam and Eve, we didn't fully appreciate what we had. at Dwesa Nature Reserve. Adam and Eve didn't fully appreciate what they had in the Garden of Eden. And Yanni, not Eve this time, Adam, Yanni, grew restless. He decided he wanted to see more. In hindsight, we should have stayed at Dwesa a little bit longer and really appreciated everything it had to offer. In hindsight, I'm sure Adam and Eve wished they never touched that apple. Anyway, we left Dwesa. Fourth way of God, the way of God's universal laws. Now, God has set universal laws upon the world that we live in. Whether you are Christian or not Christian, whether you believe in it or not, these laws apply to you. One of these laws, as an example to you, is the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please a sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." You've seen it. I've seen it. People who sow love receive love. People who sow generously with finances receive finances. Those who sow a good attitude reap benefits. Whether you are Christian or not Christian, this is a universal law of God. It applies to you. Gravity. Gravity is another universal law of the Lord's. Whether you believe it or not, the magnetic pull of the earth is going to keep you grounded. Whether you believe it or not, it happens. It happens. No one escapes it. In the Transkei, I learnt about the universal law of impact physics. You can pray over your car. You can sing praise and worship at the top of your voice. But let me tell you, when a heavy object moving at momentum, i.e. your car, hits something static, i.e. a pothole and rocks, that energy has to manifest, and it manifests on the softest object. The law of impact physics means you are going to damage your car if you hit a pothole and a rock. Not your car, your wife's car. And not just any car, Noddy. Noddy. Okay, so more specifically, we left Dwesa, and let me just put you in the situation. We decided to pick up our mandatory passenger along the way, who was going to show us the way to our next destination, obviously in Khoza. I really believe in my heart she was showing us the quickest way to our next destination, not the easiest way. We were going on tracks that 4x4 enthusiasts would have been proud to be on. I seriously know that these were tracks not made for cars, but hiking trails. Hiking trails. Anyway, there we are, sitting with a cracked oil sump. Yes. Leaving a very uneco-friendly trail of oil halfway across the Transkei. Yes, what did I learn? Praise and worship does not cushion a car with low clearance. I also learned that my wife is a true prophet. Or, as she likes to say, I'm a stubborn husband. 5. God's ways through miracles. The Bible is packed full of the evidence of miracles. Examples from the Old Testament are parting of the Red Sea, manna in the desert, water from rocks. In fact, Exodus 15:11 says this, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" While in the New Testament, Jesus walked as a man on this earth, performing supernatural events. But each one of those supernatural events pointed us towards the Father. These miracles that Jesus performed were acts of love by one who was love. Luke 18:27, Jesus replies, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Some of Jesus' miracles include the following: 5,000 people are fed, calming the storm, demons sent into pigs, cursing the fig tree, healing many sick and demon-possessed, raises people from the dead, walks on water, a coin in a fish's mouth, turns water to wine, miraculous catches of fish. But even the Bible does not contain all the miracles that Jesus did. John 20:30 says, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book." There were too many. There were too many. Miracles happen all the time, every day. We must just learn to celebrate and be thankful for the miracle. A miracle doesn't have to be changing water into wine or walking on water. It can be the small miracles in your life. Learn to recognize these. Learn to recognize these small miracles. So while I was in the Transkei, I was shown that supernatural protection can supersede the law of physics. Okay, so there we are. Yanni, Kat, Noddy, in the middle of nowhere. Okay, in the middle, when I say nowhere, I mean nowhere. There's no cell phone reception, there's no cars, there's no people, there's nothing. We are in the middle of nowhere. The oil indicator light is stopped flashing. It's just continuously red now. Okay, it's got a red oil, means that there's a problem with your oil. Okay, I go and I put the dipstick, I pull it out, I wipe it clean, nothing. So put it in again, I wipe it clean, nothing. Put it in, wipe it clean. It's bone dry. There's not one drop of oil in the entire engine. In fact, the streaming oil that was running from the bottom of Noddy has now stopped. There's no more oil to leak out. It's finished. The oil's finished. But we're in the middle of nowhere. We have no cell phone signal. We have to drive to help. At this stage, Kat and I are far from agreement. There's no agreement of prayer happening here. We are very, very far from agreement right now. She's mourning the loss and death of Noddy, and I said he's not dead yet. So we decided to resort to tongues because we really did not know what to pray for. We prayed. I prayed so hard in tongues, and I drove slowly, very slowly, probably about 30, 40 kilometers an hour. But for those of you who don't know anything about cars, like me, but I did know, no oil means big problems. If you drive with no oil in your car, you're going to seize your engine. If you seize your engine, you're going to have major financial problems with that car. So anyway, we pray madly in tongues. As I said, the prayer of agreement was not an option for us. By the miraculous grace of God, His mercy, or angels that maybe sat inside that engine, I don't know, I can't explain it. We drove for 20 kilometers. 20 kilometers. Thankfully, 20 kilometers later, we came to a place called The Haven. Vilmarie and Theo were there, so they can tell you The Haven is true to its name. And especially when you've got no oil in your car and you come across The Haven, it is The Haven. But grace was upon us even more. God knew what was happening. God knew what was happening. We arrived at The Haven, and some strange, miraculous way, Johan, the local bush mechanic, was due to visit the next morning. He was there to make some repairs on a generator at The Haven, and so I jumped on the bandwagon, phoned Johan, because there's now reception at The Haven. And I said, "Yeah, Johan, you have to help me with my car, please. My name's Yanni, blah, blah, blah." So he said, "No problem. I'll be there first thing in the morning." So I said to him, "What's first thing in the morning to you?" So he said, 7:30. So see you tomorrow, Johan. Being the kind of proactive person I am, come 7:30 in the morning. Wait. I want to tell you something else. We're going to move on to my sixth point. It's about timing. Sorry about that. God's timing is not our timing. Okay, I'll come back to the story, so just hold that thought. So we get to the haven. I'll just backtrack a little bit. We get to the haven, a miracle. God gave us a miracle that day. We did not seize our engine. We arrived at the haven. I encourage you to celebrate the small miracles in your life. God's way of timing is not our way of timing. That's point six. Now, we often try to force and strong-arm God into the things that we want. But God sees the full spectrum of time. He created time. He actually operates outside time. He sees from the beginning of it to the end of it. And as I was mentioning about time, being proactive, I phoned Johan. It's now 7:30 in the morning the next day. So I phoned Johan and I say to him, Johan, it's 7:30, are you on your way? 5 minutes. 5 minutes, he tells me. 5 minutes in Yanni's book is 300 seconds. You can count 1 to 300 and then that's 5 minutes are over. But as the Lord's timing is not my timing, nor is Transkei timing Yanni's timing, 5 minutes actually turned out to 3 hours. He came 3 hours later. And when he came, he spent a lot of time chatting to people, saying hello to everybody. He's a white man, but fully fluent in Khoza, so he speaks with all the local people, and they absolutely love him. He's a great guy, but not a very good timekeeper. So he comes to me, and he says, your repairs. I've got some Prattley liquid steel. You've seen that stuff. You mix the two together. I'm going to repair your car with this. We're in the middle of nowhere. And so I said, that's fine. How long will it take? 3 hours. So I'm a quick learner. I realize that 3 hours means 2 days. So I said to Kat, we've got some time to kill, but the haven's not a bad time to kill some time. But God also knew what he was doing. You know what? We'd been rushing our holiday. I'd been rushing because I want to see everything quickly, you know? But he suddenly made us stop. Made me stop. Kat was ready to stop long ago. He made us stop. Not only that, he sent us rain. Rain means I can't go to the beach, I can't go hiking, I can't go paddling on the river. Means I have to stay in the room or get wet. But I'm not very good at getting wet. So I stay in our bed with my wife, curled up next to her, reading a book. Ah, oh. A real holiday for Kat. Anyway, I was again reminded of a scripture which Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. So, you know, I had plans in my mind. God was making different steps, but they were good steps. As I said, we were in the haven, which was not a bad place to unwind. However, after some time, Yanni got restless again. Our next destination was up the coast, but a horrific 90-kilometer dirt road. Noddy was no condition for any more dirt roads. My plan was, once he's fixed, we take him to the tar road, and we don't stay off the tar roads. Unfortunately, it was 80 kilometers to the nearest tar road. But anyway, we had planned to go to this place called Bulangula. Bulangula is a backpackers, and I heard that you can walk to Bulangula. It's 30 kilometers, but you can walk. So I decided 30 kilometers on the beach. Well, it's 15 there and 15 back. So after a bit of arm twisting, I managed to convince my wife that this would be an adventurous thing to do. We could still get to Bulangula. My own plans, remember, because remember, I think that I'm in control here. My own plans, we can get to Bulangula, spend a couple of days there. Number seven, my seventh point. God's ways are not our ways. As explained earlier, God sees everything, the full spectrum of time. And often we are frustrated because we don't see the big picture. We only see a small portion of it, and it's frustrating for us. But you should know that He is in your you are in His care. Isaiah tells us in chapter 55, 8 to 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, So my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours. We are foolish. We are foolish if we think we can understand God. God is too big. God is too powerful. God sees all. God has to fit the full picture of the universe together. He knows what's going on. So at this point, Kat and I are walking 15 kilometers to the beach in Bulangula. And let me tell you, we were blessed. Even ask Kat, we were blessed. We came across thousands and thousands of shells. That big. 20 to 30 centimeter shells. Just hundreds of them. Thousands of all different color shells. Beautiful, again, beautiful estuaries, beautiful scenery, beautiful forests, indigenous forests. It was just amazing. I mean, people don't really walk that part of the coast because there's no reason really to do it unless you're trying to get to Bulangula. Anyway, 5 hours later, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we have our final river crossing for the day. It's the Kora River. Bulangula is 20 minutes further on from the Kora River. I'm ahead of Kat. I get to the river and I go, oh no. Oh no. The river is very wide. It's very deep. It's high tide. And there's a serious rip current pulling all the water down into the ocean. So I think, okay, it can't be that bad. Because we've crossed rivers along this way. I mean, some are like waist high. Some are as high as my chest. But we managed to cross them. So I thought, no, it looks worse than it is. So I take off my backpack, I take off my shirt, and I decide to go and investigate the river. So I take maybe 4 or 5 steps in. Suddenly the water's like waist high, and the current is so strong it just rips me. So I start floating, getting carried by the current out towards the ocean. I manage to swim to the shore. I get out, and I look around. Because someone had said to me before, he said, no problem, if you get to a river and it's too full, just there are always people with boats that can help you out. Look around, there's no boats. It's 5 o'clock. Kat comes around the corner, she sees the river, eyes are like this big, and guess what? Yeah, wait, I'm coming there. At that point, if things aren't bad enough, it starts to rain. Out of the corner of my eye, I see a surfboard next to a pole. So I go across, chained to the pole. Can't get across. So now we're stuck. It's 15 kilometers, well, about 14 kilometers and a half back to the haven. It's getting dark. It's raining. We cannot cross the river. I have a grumpy wife. Okay. I hear a dog barking. I go to investigate. There's an old wooden house. I see this dog barking, so I think if there's a dog, there must be a person. So I'm shouting, hello, 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 hello. Eventually, this elderly gentleman by the name of Pierre, he arrives and he says, yeah, can I help you? So I said, do you have a boat? So he said, no, I don't have a boat. So I said, do you know anyone who's got a boat? He said, no, sorry, this is a very quiet time of year. All the people who come here to fish come in season. So I said, do you have a tide table? So he says, yeah, I've got a tide table. So I said, can I have a look at it? So he goes back into his house. He comes back with a tide table. For those of you who don't know what a tide table is, it tells you when the tide is high and when the tide is low. It's now 5 o'clock, as I mentioned. Low tide is at 9:30 in the evening. 4.5 hour wait in the rain. And the wind is starting to pick up. And my wife is really getting grumpy. Anyway, thankfully, as I said, God always goes ahead of you. His ways are not your ways. Judy, who's Pierre's wife, comes to the gate and she says, come in for a cup of tea. We go in for a cup of tea. We have a hot cup of tea out of the wind, take off our wet clothes. And basically, to cut a long story short, I believe that God put Judy and Pierre in our path to help us that evening. They offered us a room. They had a very basic fisherman's cottage. Like, when I say basic, no running water, an outside toilet, to Kat's dismay, very dirty sheets. But it was a place out of the elements. So we gladly accepted. And I say, praise Jesus for that, man. I say, praise Jesus for Pierre and Judy. They helped us that day. They helped my marriage. It was wonderful in my eyes. But it wasn't so wonderful in Kat's eyes. But Judy and Pierre were a nice enough couple, you know. Actually, there was a little bit of bitterness in their heart, and Kat took a little bit of offense. But that's another story. That's another story. They were very nice to us. They fed us. They gave us tea and coffee. And we went to bed. Next morning, we wake up. If you know how a tide works, if it's 9 o'clock at night, low tide, the next low tide is roughly 12 hours later. It's actually a bit less, but anyway. So we wake up, and the tide is low. I mean, it's so low, there's actually a car walking across the river now. So we know it's time. We can definitely cross the river. But unfortunately, my beautiful wife, Kat, has lost her sense of adventure. She does not want to go to Bulangula anymore. In fact, she doesn't really want to go anyway. So I decide that I have to use a carrot, a reward for her. I say to her, if you walk back to the haven, I will arrange that we get an extra day at the fancy spa hotel at the end of the holiday. She's like, cool. Suddenly she's smiling, eyes are shining. This is great. Kat will have to get me back. You'll have to get me back when you preach. So anyway, we're walking back, okay, and your turn is in a couple of weeks. So anyway, we're walking along, and we're about halfway through our 15-kilometer walk back, and it starts to rain again. The heavens open, and it's bitterly cold. I mean, it's freezing cold. Kat's actually wearing a dustbin bag over herself because she's got nothing else. I wish I had a photograph. I'd actually show it up, but I don't have a photograph. Anyway, so the rain is so hectic. It actually hurts when it's hitting you. So we decide to take some shelter under some trees, and lo and behold, we come across a couple of little children who are herding goats and cattle. Snotty noses. Very, 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 very cute. And as usual, Kat feeds them our food. So, but it was amazing. They did. They deserved all the food. They really looked malnourished. So we gave them what we had. I wasn't sure why God had prevented us from crossing that Kora River and why we had met Judy and Pierre. But remember, God's ways are not our ways. And we were going to find out why. My eighth point, God's way is to go ahead of us. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Now, how is that for encouragement? The Lord is saying that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We leave the haven, Noddy intact now. He's got his Prattly liquid glue holding in his oil on the bottom of the oil sump. And we've still got, as I said, about an 80-kilometer drive to Tar Road. Halfway to the Tar Road, I swore. I don't swear often, very, very seldom these days, thank God. But I swore. The indicator light for the oil came back on. Along the way, we'd taken a couple of hits to the bottom of the car. I stop the car. I look under it. The oil is streaming out again. The Prattly glue had been knocked off the crack and the hole in the sump. We were in trouble again. I was in big trouble with my wife. But God, do not worry. Do not fear. He goes ahead of you. We come across this village. I stop in the village, and you know who God sends to help me? A Muslim. A Muslim. He sends an Arab man to me, and I buy this man's, he's got a 5-liter oil for his personal car, and he sells it to me. I say, thank you. I continue to fill the car with oil, but remember, it's streaming out. I get to the next village. There's actually a hardware shop, so I buy more oil. In the space of probably 40 kilometers, we went through 15 liters of oil, which is quite a lot. And believe me, I would stop every few kilometers, just put a little bit in, because if I put it all in, it's just going to flow out. So I put a little bit in, drive, stop, put a little bit in. It was a horrific journey. But anyway, we're about 20 kilometers from Mtata. It's Sunday, okay? It's Sunday. Nothing's open. No shops are open. No mechanics are around. We don't know where to go. I've driven through Mtata once in my life, and it's quite a logical town. And again, it's Sunday. Who can help us on a Sunday? And we need to get to Mgazi, the spa hotel, because I've paid a deposit and I don't want to lose my money. Anyway, the Holy Spirit reminds me, and everything starts to come into focus now. Pierre and Judy, the people that we met at the Kora River, remember them. I don't know why we met them. I don't know why we couldn't cross the river. They gave us their number before we left. And I remember them saying, "We've got children in Mthatha." Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. We phoned Judy and Pierre. After a few phone calls, we get a call from Tony, the Mthatha mechanic. He says he can help us. He says his workshop's closed, but it's Sunday, but he can help us. He actually meets us in Mthatha. We follow him back to his closed workshop, putting oil in all along the way. Now, he has a look at Noddy, and he says, "Noddy's in bad shape." And I said, "Tell me something I don't know." He says, "We can put a new part in. It's going to cost you several thousand rand. But I can patch it up for you." So I said, patch it up. But we were in a dilemma. We needed to get to Mgazi. Kat had phoned ahead, and there was a shuttle service that would take us from Mthatha to Mgazi, but it was 850 rand each way. Money we didn't have, money we didn't want to spend. So we asked Tony, we said, "Can we hire a car?" So he says, "No, look, the only place to hire a car is at the airport, and that's 20 kilometers away. And yeah, you can try there, but I didn't want to spend the money hiring a car because I knew that I had to fix Noddy." Anyway, God says in his word, he says, "The Lord himself goes before you, and I will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Next minute, Tony comes up to us and says, "You know, I don't know you people, and I suppose I shouldn't really trust you, but why don't you take my car to Mgazi?" Oh, I nearly kissed him. I hugged him, and he almost freaked out. So if I'd kissed him, he probably would have decked me. Mechanic, oil, kissing, no. Anyway, so he loans us his car. By the grace of God, he offers the car. And he says, "The only condition is you have to fill it up with petrol." Oh, fine. That's not a problem. So God goes ahead of us. Ninth way of God. God's way helps you to endure hardship. James 1:12, he says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial." We knew all about trial in that trip, let me tell you. "Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." This life is so short. It is so short, especially when we put it in the perspective of eternity. I love what Mother Teresa actually says. This is what she says, and I've put it up there. She says, "In light of heaven, the worst suffering on earth, a life full of all the most atrocious tortures on earth, will be seen to be no more serious than one night at an inconvenient hotel." Do you understand what that means? That means life is, call it 75 years or 80 years, however long you live. Even if you are under the worst conditions that life can possibly throw at you, when you get to eternity, that's going to be a faded memory. It's going to be like a night at an inconvenient hotel, like a night with Judy and Pierre. This is was so true of our Transkei trip. We arrived at Mgazi River bungalow and spa, and we quickly forgot the pain of the past. We were in the lap of luxury. The best part of it, we had 5 days of it. It was amazing. I can highly recommend it. The Lord also reminded me of Ecclesiastes 7:14. "When times are good, be happy, but when times are bad, consider God has made one as well as the other." God is good. You know, we went through some trials and challenges. We didn't know why we were going through part of them, but God had it perfectly fitted out. We met people like Judy and Pierre because we needed them later. God knew that we would have another problem with the car. He went ahead of us and prepared the way. He had prepared Tony's heart to give us a car to take to Mgazi. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was absolutely incredible to watch the hand of God. And if that wasn't enough to show the grace of God, two things, just two quick things I want to tell you what happened on the trip at Mghazi. The first one is I actually shared this with Janita and JP yesterday. I met a guy around the swimming pool, and he had a fishing boat, and he invited me to go fishing. So there were four people in the boat, only three rods. So the owners of the rods were obviously fishing. And I was standing there drinking my tab. It was beautiful on the river and stuff like that. And I was thinking, I really wish I could fish. I'd really like to catch a fish. Next minute, a fish jumps out the water and lands in my hands. I kid you not. I swear on my life, God is my witness. Paul Brevere from Muscle Bay was in that boat. He will confirm that a fish jumped out of the water and landed in my hands. I was dumbstruck. I had this fish in my hands, and I was like, wow. And as I did that, another one jumped, almost hit me in the head. Two fish. I was the only one who caught fish that day. Two fish, and I caught them with my hands. Okay, so the grace of God was definitely upon us. The other thing was, God knew that we had some financial responsibilities that we hadn't taken into account with the car. So we basically, because we came a day early, they put us in a different room. And when they swapped rooms, they said to us, for the inconvenience of swapping rooms, we will reduce your daily rate, which if you calculate it back, kind of fixes Noddy. So that's amazing, an amazing God. So just to recap, my wife is a prophet. And I am dumb and stubborn. But even when I'm dumb and stubborn, God does not let me go. He is still with me. True religion is looking after those who cannot look after themselves. Orphans and the widows. The poor. God's given us heaven on earth in some places. We must respect it and appreciate it. Protect your environment. Protect your home environment. Protect your community. Protect your province. Protect your country. Protect planet Earth. God's universal laws apply to all of us, whether we are aware of it or not. Rather be aware of them. Rather be aware of them. God is still a God of miracles. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just because you don't walk on water doesn't mean that He doesn't want to do miracles in your life. Celebrate those miracles. Be thankful for them. God's timing is not our timing. Be patient. Be patient. He knows best. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than the heavens are above the earth. We don't know how high the heavens are above the earth, but that's how high His ways are above our ways. So when you're sitting in a place of frustration, not seeing the whole picture, know. Know. And I can tell you that while on that holiday, while everything was going terribly, I knew deep, it's easy to say it in hindsight, standing here because everything's fixed and everything's sorted out. But I knew deep in my soul, I knew that I was looking after, I knew it would be okay. I knew that God was protecting us. God goes ahead of us. I love to travel. I love to do adventurous things. And you know why? Because you see the hand of God move so tangibly. You come to a crossroad, you've got a choice, you go left or right. You don't know which one to go, and probably one's not better than the other. You take one, it'll take you to a place, and God is at the coal face of decision making. When things happen outside your everyday life, often you get stuck in everyday life and you don't see the hand of God move in, or you don't recognize it. But when you're aware with your eyes open and new surroundings, you happen to really see and notice what God is doing for you. The last one, there's a promise and a prize at the end. All the hardship that we endure, everything that we, every trial, every suffering, every pain, every tear, it's going to be insignificant when you reach paradise in heaven with God. It'll be like a night at an inconvenient hotel. I know it's hard to believe when you're in the midst of this trial and pain, but just focus on the prize at the end. Do not take your eyes off the throne in heaven. So those were the 9 things that God showed me on this holiday. And I hope that some of them have resonated with you. So if you can just stand with me this morning, please. Father God, we just come to you this morning, Lord, as your children, as children, Lord, and as we can come with open hearts and minds and souls, Lord. Our spirit is attuned to you, Father. Lord, help us to submit our ways and our desires to you, Father. Lord, help us to listen to the people that come in, that you send to our into our lives to speak to us, Lord. Give us discernment to recognize the truth, Lord. Lord, we know that the enemy is out there, Lord, and not everything that comes across our paths that is said over us is true. So help us by your Spirit to recognize the truth. Lord, we thank you that you will stir in our hearts what it is to have true religion, Lord, to look after the orphans and the widows and the poor, and to keep ourselves or not allow ourselves to be polluted by the things of this world, Lord. Money, power, pleasure. Lord, these are things that we can distract ourselves with so easily. But Father, keep us focused on your true religion. Lord, we thank you that your ways are higher than ours and that your timing is not our timing, because you are perfect in every way. And we thank you, Father, that whoever is in the middle of a trial right now, Lord, that you will just give them a glimpse of what you have planned for them, Lord. Father, we thank you that we are rooted on the rock of Jesus Christ, that nothing can shake us from him. He is our strong tower. When there's a storm going around, Lord, we can know deep in our souls that you are in control. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you go ahead of us and there is that promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, it is by your grace that we will receive this prize. And Father, help us to keep focused on that. We just pray in your holy name this morning, Lord, for your goodness and your grace to continue to flow, for your strength and your boldness, your perseverance to manifest in our lives. So we just thank you, Father, that we can go in peace this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.